Psalm 86 in Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 86 verse number 11 is the theme of one of the songs that we sing. And it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." What does that verse mean? Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. When the psalmist was praying, he said, "God, if you will teach me your way, I will walk in your truth. If you'll teach me the way, I will walk in your truth." Now tonight, from the heart of your pastor, I plead with you to apply that verse. If you will see what God wants you to do, say to the Lord, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart with yours, that I would fear your name and do what you want me to do." The things we're going to be looking at tonight are not new, but they are very important. And I thought about different ways of making application as we start. One of the things that I really wanted to do, but I figured it would be rather complicated and some of you wouldn't want to participate, I thought about passing out a sheet of paper to each of you with a few statements on it and have you write down Bible verses to help you in situations like this. For example, fear or temptation or lust or how to show a person that they need to repent to trust Christ, or how to show a person that they need to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And just to write down references after each one of those things. The reason I've thought about doing that is to help each of us see how deficient we are. The cults, they drill it into them. They drill their doctrines into them so that they know what they believe. Sadly, many Christians don't have a clue. And as a result, when we face temptation, we fall flat on our face because we don't have the Bible to use it in our temptations. When we're trying to witness to somebody, we say, "Well, you know, I know there's a verse in there somewhere that talks about, you know, getting saved, but I don't know where it is. And I don't know how to explain it." And we are deficient in our defense of the Scripture. And we need to be able to defend ourselves. God tells us we need to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us the reason of the hope that's in us. And that means we need to always be ready to share the Scriptures. Now, there's one word that describes the reason why we don't do that. Lazy. We're lazy. Because we've got time to do it for everything else in life. We can memorize other things. We can memorize phone numbers and we can memorize this and we do that and we go there. And we got all this, but we don't take time for what God says is very important. For our protection and for our advancement of the gospel. We need the Word of God for both our protection against the devil and for our advancement of the Scriptures, of the gospel. In the community. You need to be able to share with them. And if we don't take the time to do that and get ourselves prepared, we're unequipped and we'll fall on our face and the devil wins for the day. I read a little article about soldiers and in the article it reminds us of how that the soldiers, and I'm sure that they would do something similar to this today, but it would probably be a little bit different because of the weapons and stuff that they use, but a number of years back when they just used a rifle instead of all the machine guns and all the things that they got now, but when they used a rifle, the soldier was assigned a rifle. And that rifle, he needed to learn that rifle from beginning to end. He needed to know how to take it apart, how to clean it, how to oil it, how to keep it in top-notch shape, how to put it together. He needed to be able to memorize that so that he could blindfold it. He could put that whole gun together and have it perfectly ready to go. He carried that with him all the time. It was with him 12 hours a day. Whenever he went on hikes, that he had that gun with him. And whenever they crossed the rivers and he'd have to walk through the river, he might get wet himself, but that rifle never got wet. He kept it up above the... because that rifle was his protection. That rifle would keep him from the enemy, from being defeated by the enemy. He needed to know that rifle inside and out so that he could protect himself and defend his country. And that is the role of a soldier. But you know, as a Christian soldier, we need to have just as much concern, perhaps more concern than that, about knowing the scriptures so that we can at least find a verse. Even if you don't have the whole verse memorized, at least be able to know the reference so that you can go fast to that verse and find it. You can carry a New Testament in your pocket or whatever so that you can quickly find what you need and have it outlined and ready so that when the devil attacks or when you need to share the gospel or when you have an opportunity to use the Word of God, you don't just bumble around and say, well, you know, there's something in there that talks about this somewhere. I'm not sure where, but it's in there somewhere, believe me. And the other person's going to say, yeah, you don't sound like you know what you're talking about. I don't think I'll believe you. And the devil certainly knows far better than we do, and we're not going to fool him. And we need to have the power of God to defeat the devil. And so we need to know, we need the warrior's the spiritual warrior's proficiency with his weapon should be no less proficient than the soldier. And in the end of the little article I read, I want to quote the latter part, and he says, but quite sadly, if believers had to rely on their own Bible familiarity in life and death situations, the majority would helplessly perish. Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. And it's not because we don't own a Bible. It's not because we are ignorant. It's not because we can't read. It's because we don't take the time. And we need to get familiar with the Bible. I'm not talking about, you know, memorizing the whole New Testament. If you're capable of that, go for it. But probably most of us aren't capable of that. But we can all learn and memorize key verses, key passages, key references that will help defend ourselves in time of struggle with the devil and also help us to be able to share the gospel in a way that is persuading. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. My words aren't going to persuade someone to trust Christ. But it's the Scripture that can work in their hearts. And the same is true with you. If you'll learn the Scriptures. Now, so we need to spend time learning the Scriptures. Now, as we look at this tonight, again, I want to answer those three questions about the armor that God has defined for us here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. He says, take the helmet of salvation, we looked at that last week, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What significance was the soldier's sword? Well, the soldier's sword in the Bible, most of the time, or at least a lot from what I could find out, most of the time it was relatively short. It wasn't a real long, you know, super long sword, but it was more of a dagger. For example, Ehud. Anybody remember Ehud? What was unique about Ehud? He had one thing that was very unique about him. The Bible made it very clear. What was it? Well, no, that was Eglon, the guy that he killed. What was unique about Ehud? Well, that's true too, but you're dead. He was left-handed. That was very significant because that's what enabled him to do what nobody else could do. Because of the left-handedness, he wore a secret pouch or a sheath on his other leg where he kept his sword. And so when he went through security to get in to see the king, they checked his normal leg and there was nothing there and they let him in. And he got in there and he pulled out this thing and he killed the enemy king with his left hand. But he had a sword that was about a cubit long, all right? A cubit's the elbow to the fingertip, so it was about that long of a sword. So that's kind of typical of the swords of Bible days. They were sometimes made of brass, other times of iron, and often they were two-edged swords. They had sharp on both sides. It wasn't just like your kitchen bread knife, but it was sharp on both sides. And that way, you know, it didn't matter whether you were swinging up or swinging down, it still did the job. And it was used to defend themselves. And again, remember, in hand-to-hand combat like they had in Bible days, it was a gruesome thing, but the truth of the matter is, it's either kill or be killed. And you better be skillful with that thing. If you aren't, you're going to be the loser. And so you had to outskill the other guy in order to keep yourself alive with your sword. And you better know how to use the thing. And the same is true spiritually with us. The devil is out to get us. And he doesn't play fair. He's going to use every unfair advantage he can possibly find to try to defeat us. And we need to know our sword and have our sword ready all the time. And our sword needs to be sharp. Now our sword is sharp, but the sword that we carry sometimes isn't very sharp. Alright? This is our sword, the Bible. And it will cut and do the work that God wants us to do, but in order for it to be practical, it needs to be honest all the time. You need to have a marked Bible in your pocket that you know well, or you need to have it up here in order for it to be sharp and ready to go. And so, we need to know the Word of God. Now, how does God apply the sword to spiritual warfare? And I've kind of already alluded to that already. The Bible is the Holy Spirit's sword. And I'm going to read several verses that give us information about how God applies the Bible to our defense. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, 2 Peter 1, 21, over there we read, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter 1, 21. So he says there that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved them. He inspired what they said. He guided what they said. He caused them to write down in the Scriptures the things that God wanted said. So the Spirit of God was actively involved in the inspiration of the Scripture. Now, if the Spirit of God inspired the Word of God, then He knows how to use the Word of God, and we need to depend upon His help in using the Word of God. Now, also, we find in 1 Corinthians, let's just flip over to these, they're not that hard to find, and you're all familiar with the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 13. It says, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." The Holy Spirit also, not only did He inspire the Bible, but He teaches us the Bible. He is the one that helps us understand it, help us to make sense out of the things that are complex, and He teaches us the Word of God. So we are depending upon the Holy Spirit, His inspiration to give us the Bible, His teaching to instruct us in the Bible. Now flip over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. It's a good verse to have memorized. If you don't have it memorized, it's a good one to mark in your Bible to memorize. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick." That means it's alive. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It is the Word of God that God can use in our lives to convict us. He said it is sharp. It cuts down deep into the very core of our being. And it works in our lives. And God uses that in Christians, but also God uses the Scriptures like that in the unbeliever to cut at them, to help them to see that they need Christ. That hard unbeliever that just won't budge. But if we use the Word of God with him, God can use the Scriptures to break through their hard hearts. And oh, how we need to use the Scriptures to convict and to see the power of God there. Also, the Holy Spirit defends truth with the Bible. Remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4? Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil. In chapter 4, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10, Jesus used a three-word phrase over and over again in those three verses. He said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And then he quoted Scripture. Now, think with me. If Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, used the Scriptures to defend himself against the devil's attack, don't you think that's a pretty good way of doing it? I mean, you can't beat that. You can't get something better than that. Because Jesus himself gave us that example and said, here's the way to defeat the strong temptations the devil brings our way. And he quoted Scripture. And we need to be able to quote Scripture to defend ourselves when the devil is after us. And you know, we to just use the Scriptures as the devil tries to attack us. You know, it's not just talking to yourself, and I'm not necessarily, we're talking to the devil too, you know, to just tell the devil, leave me alone, this is what God said. And you quote a verse off to him about what God said that'll help you in that area of temptation. And you'll be amazed how that'll help give you strength and through the power of the Word of God. Now, so the Bible is the Holy Spirit's sword. But we must use the Bible against the wiles of the devil. Remember, this is the whole theme of what we're looking at here with our armor. And he started there in verse number 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the wiles of the devil, these tricks of the devil, are against us. And the Bible is our only offensive weapon. It's our only offensive weapon. Now, all these other things he talked about were defensive. Defensive. What's the difference between offense and defense? And hey, do you know the difference between offense and defense? Okay, here it is. Listen carefully. All right. Defense means I'm to defend myself. Offense means to attack. All right. Offense is the attack. Defense is to protect. All right. And he says all these other pieces of armor, the helmet, the shield, the belt, the shoes, all those were defensive to protect us against the enemy. And the only offensive one we have is the Word of God, the sword. And so the sword is to be used as an offensive. Now, I suppose there's a sense in which verse number 18, I believe, is also a piece of armor, even though it may not be considered by everyone as a piece of armor. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That would also be offensive because we can use the prayer both as defensive and as offensive as we pray. So there is a sense in which that is an offensive piece as well. But we need to then be able to skillfully use our sword. Skillfully use our sword to defend us. There's a lot of things we need to defend. We need to defend ourselves against the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That is something when the devil comes to us with a lustful thought, whether it be sensual lust or whether it be material lust or whether it be some other kind of lust, and he comes to get us to try to fall to that, we need to remember verses like this, flee also youthful lust. And we remind ourselves of that and then we run. Run. You say, well, I don't want to be a coward. No, there's an opportunity to be a coward. God says, run. He said, run. Because we're not strong enough to defend ourselves. We need to run. And run where? Well, the best place to run is to the Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So you run to God for help, and he will protect you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Also, the Bible can expose false teaching. And it'll defend us against false teaching. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now what's God telling us? He's saying, there's one gospel. One gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ pays for the sins of the whole world. Anyone who comes to Christ for salvation can be saved. It's nothing else, nothing less. And you know, there are cults out there preaching false gospels. They're saying, yes, okay, yeah, believe in Jesus, that's true, but then you got to be baptized too, and then you got to be, you know, got to do this too, and you got to do this too, and you got to do this too. Well, no, that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the payment of my sin, and my faith in him is all I need to have my sins washed clean and be one of his children. And that is the gospel. So he's, the word of God then can defend us against false teaching. It can also calm our fears and our doubts in times of worry. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. See, verses like that. Memorize those kind of verses. If troubles come to you where you're constantly fretting or there's troubles that are bothering you, memorize verses like that and then just go over it and over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. And just go over it and over it in your mind and let it refresh your soul and help you. Use it as a sword. Then the Bible can drive away fears. This verse here is written to the Jews. But there's principles here that I think are characteristic of God's person. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41:10, God said to the Jewish people, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He promised them, "I will be with you. I will be there. Fear not. I will be with you." Now we have a promise in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So he's always there with us. And maybe that was in verse 5. Verse 8 talks about Jesus Christ being ever present or eternal. But anywhere in Hebrews chapter 13, God gives us that. But this verse here, particularly written to the Jews, but the principles there is the characteristics of God that we can trust Him. We can trust Him. And He will defend us and help us in time of fear. And you know, you can go on and on and on in the Bible and find ways in which the Bible can be your encouragement and defense. And you need to know the Bible. Mark your Bible. You know, that's one of the reasons why I strongly urge you to get a good quality Bible and then mark it and keep it for life. Treat it well, treat it with respect, keep it covered, carry it carefully, and mark it. Why? Because then you can put your treasures in there that you found. You know, I do this with my Bibles, but I also do it on my software on the computer. But you know, I don't always have my computer with me in my pocket. And, you know, I got a little tablet and I got a little bit of stuff on that, but it's harder to put it on that because you got to go point, 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 one at a time. And that's not as easy, but it can be done. But whatever we do, we got to have something where we can carry those treasures with us that we found. Because when you find a treasure, if you don't mark it, if you don't outline it, if you color it in, you don't mark it in some way, you'll forget it. And you'll forget where it was. That's why I encourage you to color code your Bible with different colors. I use red for verses on salvation. I use blue for general verses. I use green for verses that help me grow. I use different colors, yellow for verses about God and heaven, things of that nature. And I color code my Bible so that they come fast when I open up my Bible. I can find them, and it's helpful. But whatever you do, find ways of getting the Bible into your heart and your mind and your and so that you can use it readily, so that it is ready, and the sword is ready to be used at all times. Now, how can we take this sword of the Spirit and use it like God wants us to do? First of all, we need to know it well. And I've been emphasizing this, but that's just the fact. We need to know the Bible well. An interesting little story. An old man was sitting in the park on a bench, and this is obviously years ago because this couldn't happen today, and you young people, I'll have to explain it after we're done because you won't understand. But a little boy came to sit down beside him, and he pulled out a pocket watch, and he was winding it. And the old man said, "Nice watch you got there, sonny." He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "Does it tell time?" He says, "No, sir, you got to look at it." And he says, "It doesn't talk, you got to look at it." All right. And, you know, the truth is, the Bible gives us all the answers, but you got to look at it. You got to look at it. Now, for you kids, you didn't understand. A pocket watch is a watch like this that you used to put in your pocket, and you had to wind it. In those days, there wasn't batteries in them. You had to wind it. If you didn't wind it, it got slower and slower until it stopped and those kind of things. And But that was in days gone by, ancient history. But God wants us to look at the Bible. You got to look at it. If you don't look at it, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. You've got to know the Bible. Now, we must let the Bible dwell in us richly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Flip over there and look at that verse. It's just a few pages over. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So he says that we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And you get the idea that it isn't just kind of a casual look, but to dwell in it richly, to spend a great deal of time in it, to devour it, to let it be part of us. He said, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, we're not just supposed to dwell in the Bible and memorize it and meditate on it, but we're to sing it as well. Let it come out of our lips. It ought to be so filling us that it's the words that are coming out of our mouth all the time whenever we're talking and singing, and it's just part of us, that it's just flowing out of us. It's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Remember, we mentioned that this morning. The things that are inside are going to come out. And if we have the Word of God inside, then the Word of God is going to come out. But if we have garbage inside, garbage is going to come out. And so we need to have the Word of God in our hearts and then fill our hearts with it. Over in Psalm 1, flip over there now. Psalm 1, very first of the Psalms. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 are very good verses regarding the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, so God here says here, here's the guy that is blessed from the Lord. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he's not good buddies with the ungodly people. And he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He's not standing around with them. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He's not among the scorners that are mocking the things of the Word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights in the Bible, and he meditates on it day and night. Now, we see here a person who is the opposite of the world. Verse 1 describes the people of the world, doesn't it? The counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful and the sinners and the ungodly, that sounds like the world. He says the godly person doesn't go along with them. They're not his good buddies. But he says he instead delights in the law of the Lord. He reads it. He meditates on it. He dwells on it. He meditates on it day and night. We need to spend more time in the Bible. Psalm 119. You're there in Psalm. Flip over a few pages, quite a few pages, to 119. Look at verse number 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Longest chapter in the Bible. 165 verses in it. But 119 verse number, no, sorry, it's got more than that, 176 verses. Psalm 119, verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist said here, I have hid your word in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Now, what is that telling us? That is saying if I will memorize the Bible will help me to keep from sin. I mean, that's what God says. He said, if we memorize scriptures that help us in our times of our areas of temptation, they will help us to be able to be victorious. So you think about the things that you trip and fall on most of the time. Maybe your mouth gets you in trouble. Then memorize verses about your mouth. And maybe it's your thoughts that get you in trouble. Memorize verses about your thoughts. If it's, you know, your anger that gets you in trouble, then memorize verses about anger. Whatever it is that is your common problems, find verses and memorize them, meditate on them, read them again and again and again and again until they become part of you, until they become a natural part of your thoughts so that they just come to your mind as soon as the problem comes up. And God says it'll help us. I didn't say it. God did. We need to depend upon it. Right there next to it, a couple verses before, verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. God says we can cleanse our way. You know, when we trip and fall, we get clean by reading the word of God and letting the word of God wash us clean and feed us and teach us and instruct us. It helps us. And he says, by taking heed thereto. What's it mean to take heed? You know, and Andre, what's it mean to take heed?
To listen.
Okay, to listen. What else? Yes.
To take it to heart.
Okay, to take it to heart. What else? To heed.
To do it.
There you go, to do it. Those others were right, but doing it really is the bottom line. He says, where was all shielding young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by doing what the Bible says. And so we need to do it. We need to do it. Put it into our practice in our daily lives. Then we must use the Bible. Use the Bible. Use it. Be able to quote it when the devil attacks us. You got to have it. I mean, the devil's not going to wait until he's going to say, come and get you. Hang on, devil, hang on. I've got to get my Bible. Where are you going to attack me at? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let me find the verses here. All right, I'm ready. Come. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He's going to get you when you're least expecting it. He's a deceitful enemy. We've got to have it down in our hearts. We've got to know where to turn. We've got to know what to do when the scriptures are there to help us. I'm going to read two quotes, one from Albert Barnes and the other one from Adam Clark, both commentaries, and as they describe the power of the scripture. I think it was great the way they worded it. Barnes said, a single text of scripture is better to meet temptation than all the philosophy which the world contains. The tempter can reason, and reason plausibly, too. But he cannot resist a direct and positive command of the Almighty. He can argue and debate, but he cannot resist a command of the Almighty God. Adam Clark adds to that, and he says, an ability to quote this on proper occasions, and especially in times of temptation and trial, has a wonderful tendency to cut in pieces the snares of the adversary. What are they saying? They're saying if you know the scriptures and you have the scriptures and you use the scriptures, you can defeat the devil. And that's exactly what God's telling us here, back in our text, in Ephesians chapter 6. He tells us there to take the whole armor of God, the panoply of God. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And so he said if we put on the armor, not just the defensive armor, but the offensive armor. We've got to know the Word of God. And you know, every one of us need to work at memorizing the Bible more and more. It's a lifelong task. It isn't just something you do, you know, for a Sunday school contest. It's a lifelong task. And it's something that we need to work at. You may not be able to memorize a new verse every day. You may not even be able to handle one a week. But I think all of us could handle at least one a month. That's 12 a year. You say, well, that's not very many. Well, it's more than you'll learn if you don't do it. All right? And we need these things to help us. Let's work at memorizing the scriptures. And you know, then we can do exactly what Jesus did. When the devil attacked Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said to him, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what did Jesus quote? What book? Who knows what book he quoted from?
Deuteronomy.
Now, I got to admit, I don't have a whole lot of verses memorized in Deuteronomy. I got a few, but not very many. All right? Deuteronomy is not, you know, your first place you go to memorize all these verses. But that's what Jesus had memorized. You say, yeah, but he was God. Well, that's true, but he also put his heart into it. He was a human being as well. He grew in stature and in favor with God and with man. He put effort into it as well from a human perspective. And he is an example for us. And so, the Bible is the power behind our defensive armor. And it is the power behind our offensive armor. The Bible. The Bible will protect us from the blows of Satan. And the Bible will also cut to shreds the devil's lures and his lies. But we've got to know the Bible. And when the devil comes at us, we can't say, time out, let me go find my Bible and get some answers. It don't work that way. You can't say, well, hang on, let me call the preacher. I know he's got some answers. It won't work that way. We've got to know. And there's going to be times, and there's times when I face things and I don't have the answer, but I know where to find it. And I know how to find it. And that's why I encourage you to get a good Bible program. Most all of us have access to a computer. If you don't, then just get your Bible and memorize all you can in that Bible. Mark it from front to back. Put notes in the front cover of your Bible. This is a newer Bible, but the old Bibles I have, I got notes all over in the back telling me where to go to find this and that. You know, on temptations, go to this verse, and I got them all listed in the back. I got all kinds of things written in there. Why? Because I need that. So when I got stuck, I know where to go. Because I don't have a great memory. In fact, I got a terrible memory, but I can write. So you fill your Bible with that kind of stuff and mark it and put notes in there and put things in there. Go to this verse and go to that verse and then color code it and put beside that verse, next verse, to go to this verse. And it'll help you. Just do whatever you can. But let's get the Word of God so that we can use it and defend ourselves against the devil. Because the devil is going to attack us. He's going to attack. Now, as we began this evening, we read that verse in Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. The psalmist said, Lord, you teach me your way. I will walk in your truth. Tonight, we've looked at God's way. God said, we need to know the word if we're going to defend ourselves. We got work to do. Will you do like the psalmist and say, Lord, you've shown me your way. Now, I will do it. I will do it. And my challenge to you is to start a program of some sort, even if it's only one a month. I think all of us can handle more than that, but if you're not sure you can, at least one verse a month. Pick out a verse that will help you in the most strategic temptation situation you struggle with and memorize that verse. Just read it again and again and again and again and again. Every single day when you have your Bible time with the Lord, first thing in the morning is when I have my Bible time, get out your verse and go over that verse again. Say it five times every day. They tell us that if you say a verse five times a day, within a month, you'll have it down perfectly and you won't forget it. Now, I'm a pretty good forgetter, and sometimes I can forget even after I've done it for five times a day for a whole month. But you just keep on working at it, and it'll stick in. And the more you go over it, make sure you understand the verse. And then use it. Use it through the day. Use it with talking to your family. Use it against the devil when he attacks you. Use it to share with a friend. Use it to write it in an email. Use it in every way you can. The more you use it, the more you'll adopt it. The more you'll get it into your heart. But let's begin to memorize the Bible and know how to defend ourselves. And when you're studying the Bible, mark things, underline things, put notes and arrows and ways of reminding yourself where to find things. Open up the front and back of your Bible and put in there, you know, go to John 3:16 for salvation or whatever. Just do whatever you have to do in order to help yourself, not just to defend. Remember, the sword was offensive, but it was also defensive. They used it to protect themselves. The enemy's coming after me. I can hold it up to protect myself against his sword coming at me. But it's also offensive to get after him. So it works for both senses, the offense and defense. So the Word of God in our hearts can protect us from the devil and it can attack the devil. And we can use it to help us to defend ourselves against the false teachings of the cults. But it also can be used in our witness to be able to cut to the hearts of those that need Christ and help them to see their need of Jesus. We need the Word of God. We need the Word. So let's just work at it. If you need some tips and help or guidelines on how to get started on memorizing, come see me. I'd be happy to help you. But we just need to do something. Even if you go slow at it, let's get busy and do something and make the Word of God more part of our hearts that we might be able to defend ourselves and be able to use the Word of God against the devil and in our witnessing and in our defense of the Word of God.